For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Paul Stands Up for the Gentiles, as we pick up in Galatians chapter 2, verse 2. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I was preaching among the Gentiles. But I communicated it to them privately, those that were reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. In other words, he didn't really proclaim it openly to the church in Jerusalem, because the church in Jerusalem was made up of a lot of former Pharisees and a lot of Jews who were still following the traditions of the law and who were still very observant in many aspects to the law. Jews who believed still that you could not be a Christian if you were a Gentile. Jews that still held to the fact that the only way you could be saved was by believing in Jesus Christ and then keeping the law of Moses and being circumcised. That was the basic mindset of the church in Jerusalem. And so Paul communicated in private to the apostles the gospel that he had been preaching, this gospel of grace. But Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was not compelled to be circumcised. They tried to encourage it and all, but Paul withstood it. For their teaching was, hey, you've got to be circumcised in order to be saved. And so Titus was not compelled, as Paul withstood them, that because of false brethren, unawares, who were brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for a minute, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So Paul was standing up for you Gentiles. Paul was standing up for the gospel that has been proclaimed to you, that you don't have to become a Jew, that you don't have to keep the law of Moses. All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Put your trust in him and God will do his work in your life and transform you by the power of the Spirit. And what you can't do for yourself, God will do for you. That salvation is God's gift through your faith in Jesus. And so Paul had this conflict, but he would not give in. He would not surrender to the pressures of the apostles there in Jerusalem, not for a moment. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, I like this, Paul the tough cookie. It's interesting to me how that so quickly we can lose sight of the teaching of Jesus. Jesus said, if any man would be chief among you, let him become the servant of all. And Jesus taught his disciples that the true ministry was one of servanthood. He took the towel. He washed their feet, taking the place of a servant among them. And he said, now do you see what I've done? Go and do likewise. Happy are you if you'll do these things. That is, if you'll take the place of a servant. If I, being your Lord, have served you, then you ought to serve one another. But always in the church, it seems that we develop some kind of a hierarchy. We develop this little circle of leadership where we begin to stand in awe of men. Oh, you know, look. And it is so easy to become a prey to this and think, oh, I am something, you know. I am somebody. And you begin then to insulate yourself from people. And you soon lose contact with people, and you soon lose contact with reality. There is one servant of God that I highly admire. I think he's been used of God perhaps in a greater measure than almost any man living today. And when I met him, I was totally taken back by the simple, beautiful attitude of this man. And that's Billy Graham. He is the most unassuming person. All God has used him, you know, and people say, oh, Billy Graham, you know, and I was that way. I was like, oh, Billy Graham, you know, and Billy Graham, you know, and I was just, you know, just so in awe of him. And then he started talking with me, and I became just totally wiped out with the beautiful openness and touchability of this man. One of our fellows who is a flight attendant for Western Airlines had Billy on his plane the other day. And so he said to him, when you're through with your duties, why don't you come back and sit and talk? And so he sat down and was talking with Billy for about an hour on the plane. And Billy says, well, give me your phone number. Next time I'm out in California, I'll give you a call. Maybe we can get together. With a flight attendant on Western Airlines. But that's the kind of a man he is. It's beautiful. No wonder God has used that man so mightily. No wonder God has been able to continue to use him through the years. Because he has caught what it is to be a servant of God. And not really placed himself in this position of, you know, grandiose superiority over others. Now, as here was this little, you know, the little group in Jerusalem. They had set themselves up and, you know, they're establishing themselves. And Paul says of them, but of those who seemed to be somewhat, whatever they were, it makes no matter to me. For God doesn't accept any man's persons. Years ago, when I was disenchanted with the particular denomination in which I was serving, I started looking around to other denominations. I was hoping to find the perfect denomination. I was going to corrupt it by joining it. And so I went before the bishops and before the presbyters and before the leaders of other denominations, because the thing that I didn't like in the denominationalism was the establishment of the spiritual hierarchy, which created a political back-scratching kind of a mode, you know, getting up the line and getting in the positions of power, and then, you know, there you sit in your chair, your pompous attitude and the whole thing. And I didn't see that in true Christianity. And I was looking for more of a fellowship where, hey, you know, we all put our pants on one leg at a time. You know, no different from each other, really. And so I went before many of these august bodies of leaders. You know, adjust their glasses and they sit there in their chairs and they, you know, scowl at you and give you the whole, you know, they try to intimidate you And that's the whole game, intimidation. They tried to intimidate Paul. Intimidate him into having Titus circumcised and having Paul back down. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they are, it doesn't matter to me. For God accepts no man's person. God doesn't stand in awe of these men. God is not intimidated by them. But the nations are as dust in the balances in his eyes. How much less man? Now, that's an interesting little scripture. The nations are as dust in the balances. Many times a merchant, of course, the balances were, you buy your goods, you buy them by the weights. And so they had the shekel weights that they would place on the balances. They had the balance scales. But a merchant would try to show you how honest he really was. So he would blow the dust off of the scales before he would put your merchandise on it in order that you're not buying his dust. And it was a symbolic action to just show you, hey, I'm the most honest guy around, And so this dust in the balances is a picturesque thing. People could see the merchant blowing the dust off the balance before he put your merchandise on it so you'd know that you were getting a fair deal. The nations are like dust in the balances. God can blow them away. How much less is man? And so, God doesn't accept a man's person. God isn't intimidated by man. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference, those who were taking the authority and speaking the words of power and all, they added nothing to me. I wasn't moved by them. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, and the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas and John, or Peter and John, who seemed to be the pillars. Oh, Paul, I love you, man. Who seemed to be the pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcision. And this is great. This is a real problem that existed in the early church, and this is how it was resolved. Recognizing that we each have our ministries, but they are different. God has called you to the circumcision. Great. Go for it, Peter. God has called me to the Gentiles. Great. I'll go for it. We're dealing with different kinds of people who need a different emphasis and message. I do see the validity of denominations, or at least the variety of churches. I do see the validity of the liturgical churches who are ministering to people who can relate to God best in a liturgical setting. I can see the purpose of emotional churches, the Pentecostal churches, for people who have to relate to God in an emotional, hyped sense. And I really rejoice that God is so gracious in reaching man at his different levels. And so God has reached me at my level. God has reached you at your level. And he seeks to reach every man at whatever level that man is. If a man's made up on an emotional base and a high pitch thing, God meets him on that level because God loves him. If a man is made up a very sedate, you know, solemn kind of a way, God meets that man at his level. So that we shouldn't put down the liturgical churches, nor should we put down the Pentecostal churches. But we should recognize that God is using each to meet men at both ends of the spectrum and also those who are in between in the spectrum, because God loves all men and God is no respecter of man's persons. He'll meet each of us at our level. The only problem comes is when we say we have the only level or we have the best level. You know, ours is superior to theirs. God loves us more because we relate to God in a better way. No, it's the best way for me to relate to God. But there is, for some people, they could not relate to God as I relate to God. And it's interesting, there are some that say, hey, you're too emotional, and there are others that say you're not emotional enough. So somewhere I figure I'm relating to God in the middle of the road. Because if they hit you from both sides, you know you got to be in the middle. Hit you from just one side, you're on the end then, you know. But when they get you from both sides, you're in the middle. So Paul agreed to disagree. God's called you, Peter, John, James. God's called you guys to the Jews. Great. God has called me to the Gentiles. You can develop your legal relationships with God. We will develop our loving relationships with God through grace. Now, Paul puts in his little barb here. Only they would that we would remember the poor. In other words, they ask us for help. Now, we're going to minister to the Jews, but we're needing help. So don't forget the poor, which Paul said, we've always been forward in doing, that is, in helping the poor. Paul, you remember, many times took up offerings from the churches to give to the church in Jerusalem to help them in their poverty. So it's sort of interesting. But when Peter was come to Antioch, that is the place where Paul, that was Paul's really home church in a sense. The base from which Paul went, the base to which Paul returned. That was his home church. When Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was at fault. For before certain of the brothers came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came down, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that even Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, if you being a Jew were living after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why are you compelling the Gentiles to live as the Jews? So Peter showed a vacillation here. And of course, Peter was sort of famous for vacillation. He had come down to Antioch and he was eating with the Gentiles. Now, the churches in those days had what they called the agape feast. It was sort of what we would call today a potluck. And usually once a week they'd all get together for this agape feast, everyone bringing a dish and then just sharing it all together and eating together, and then they would finish it with communion service. And it was called the love feast. The agape feast in the early church. And it served a great purpose because many times the poor people, this was the only decent meal they got all week. Many of the Christians were slaves, undernourished. And this was the only decent meal they had. So everybody's sharing all of their food, all sitting together and eating together. And so Peter came down and he just sat with them and ate with them. But that's a no-no to a good Jew. For in eating together, you were becoming one with them, and thus they were becoming one with the Gentiles. And from a Judaistic standpoint, from an Orthodox standpoint, that was bad. But Peter, seeing the love of Christ, realizing, hey, they're just brothers in the Lord, he just sat down with Gentiles and ate. Now, you remember earlier, when Peter had his revelation on the housetop of Simon there in Joppa, and this sheet was let down and all kinds of unclean animals on it, and the Lord said, Peter, rise, kill and eat. He said, oh, not me, Lord. I've never eaten anything unclean. Jesus said, don't call that unclean which I have cleansed. It happened three times. And then the Lord said, behold, at the gate there are some men who have come. Go with them. Don't ask any questions. And so Peter went down to the gate, and here were three men from Caesarea. And they said, our master Cornelius, a Roman centurion, had a vision. And in the vision, the angel told him to send us down here and to find you and to bring you back up that you might explain to us the way of God in truth. And so Peter went with them, and he came to the house of Cornelius in Caesarea. Cornelius opened the door and said, oh, praise the Lord, Peter, come on in. And Peter said, oh, you know, it's not lawful for me to enter your house, the house of a Gentile. But he said, God told me don't call that unclean, which he's cleansed, so I'll come on in, you know. Isn't that what you want to know?
Get ready to journey through the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, with one of the most trusted Bible teachers of our time, Pastor Chuck Smith. Digitally remastered T2000 series, topical Bible teachings recorded Sunday mornings live at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, between 1979 and 1985. These timeless messages are now available in a convenient portable format. The T2000 series includes 271 MP3 audio files stored on an easy-to-use 8GB reusable flash drive. Learning from Pastor Chuck is simple. Just insert the flash drive into your computer, transfer the files, and you're ready to listen anywhere. Upload the teachings to your phone or smart device and take Pastor Chuck's clear, powerful Bible teaching with you on the road, at home, or wherever God leads you. And yes, the flash drive is completely reusable for your personal storage needs. Order your T2000 flash drive today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. The T2000 series, timeless truth, powerful teaching, ready when you are. Now, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and bless you and keep you in his love and grace. May the Lord watch over you, and may you be filled with his Spirit and walk in the strength and in the power of the Spirit of God as he anoints you day by day. May you be enabled by him. And may you enter into that fullness that he has for you, walking with the Lord, loving the Lord, listening to the Lord. Alert unto the Lord in these last days when the world around you is walking in its drunken stupor. May your mind and heart be clear, sensitive to God and to the things of the Spirit. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Galatians on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Galatians 2. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.